The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
When we consider all the confusions, tragedies, and atrocities that are going on in the world, we certainly can conclude this is not our Father's world. We also can conclude that the kingdom of God is not yet here, that has not come to this troubled world. In spite of the fact that we just recently returned from the Feast of Tabernacles, where we lived out the foretaste, the foreshadow of this coming kingdom of God. Brethren, in spite of the fact that all this is going on in the world today, as the people of God, we are to be truly thankful that we know a better world is coming. And as a result of that, we individually, as families, and as a collective body, we all pray, Thy kingdom come soon. We also need to be thankful we do not have to witness all the misery that is happening at this time in our world. I'm not sure how we would be able to deal with it. You know, we just look at the news and we see all the horrible things that are going on. I don't know how we would be able to deal with it in that sense, other than the fact that we know there is a kingdom coming. There is a better world. And this is not it. And so as a result of knowing this is not it, then we look forward to that. And we take hope in that and praise God for that and all of those incredible, wonderful things that we know and we understand. And we do pray, Thy kingdom come. However, having said that, none of us should forget the lessons from these happenings. And it is a lesson that we actually saw during the Feast of Tabernacles, and that lesson is, life is extremely brief. We are told in Scripture, we spend our years as a tale that is told. We're told in Scripture that life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. We're told in Scripture that we are as the grass that withers. And we're told in Scripture, we are as flowers that fade away. Let me ask a question at this point. If you were told you only had 1 month to live, what would you do? It's a sobering question, isn't it? But what if you knew it? And you can know whatever health you're in today, that you would still have this health, but you had 1 month in which to live. What would you do? And I want you to think about that question as we go through this sermon today. I have a couple of options that we might consider. There are obviously many, many others. One might be that we would say, well, I'd like to travel to see places that we have desired to but never had the opportunity to see. I know personally there are things that my wife and I have talked about. Oh, we would really like to go and see this place or go and see that place. And another option that I think about is we could simply stay on our knees in prayer. We could stay on our knees blessing our great, awesome God for who He is. Just some things to think about. Some things to think about. As we begin what might be called and considered by some as a beginning to a new year, and simply because so many people live from the Feast of Tabernacles to the Feast of Tabernacles, I think as a result of that, each of us need to feel a renewed sense of thankfulness to God for this gift of life and for the wonderful, fantastic, innumerable blessings we enjoy as God's children. At the same time, we also realize that we are face to face with the reality that our days on planet Earth are numbered. You see, yesterday is gone. It is past. Last year is gone, and its events, all of them, good or bad, are sealed in God's book of remembrance. And we know the only way that we can improve, or the only way that we can change the record, is to change the way we are spending the present day, the way that we are spending this moment in time. Because, brethren, whenever we really boil it all down, when we really understand, when we really see it all, only this moment is ours. This moment and no other. It has been stated that all of us are simply slaves to time. And when you think about it, even from a very young age, from a very young child, time seems to follow us like a shadow. Children are often reminded of time. It's time to go to bed. It's time to brush your teeth. It's time to take your bath. It's time to get up. It's time to go to school. It's time to do something. Even children are slaves to time. And then the older we grow, the more it seems the clock is even more demanding of us and on our time. Because all of us know the pressures of time in this life, in the life that we're in, running from this appointment to that appointment, fitting in this or fitting in that, trying the best we can to get a few moments here for something or a few hours there. And we understand, we know what I'm talking about, and we could all fill in the blanks of what I'm referring to about this time. It is like time haunts us. Millions of people go to work every day and return home every day by the clock. I remember one time many years ago when my brother and I were living in the Cape Kennedy area, Cape Canaveral area, that he was working for one of the major defense contractors at that time at the Cape. And he had to leave time at a set time. And he only had 1 minute, only there was a 1 minute window. And if he missed that time, then he had to wait 12 minutes before he could leave because of the amount of traffic that was put onto the highways. The time that he was to leave was 4:27. They worked it out to minutes. And if you can't leave, you got to leave 12 minutes later. I mean, it's one of those kinds of things. And this has gone on in our society for years and years and years. In fact, the fact is, the Bible also speaks about the subject of time. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 14. James 4 and verse 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." It is a puff of wind. The book of Job, chapter 7 and verse 7. "Oh, remember that my life is wind." It's like a breath of air. Just like the blowing out. That's life. That's what it's talking about. "Mine eye shall no more see good." Because life is brief, and because we only have a measured amount of it, I don't see how any thoughtful Christian can live year to year without looking at the progress that we have made in using this life that God has given to us to fashion it into something resembling, as it were, the nature likeness of Jesus Christ. We have to look at our life. We have to look at the past year and see, has any of it become more like the nature of Jesus Christ? Go with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We are told, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So be it. With that in mind, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I think it's also good from time to time, I don't mean to dwell on this long extended periods of time in that sense, but I think it is all something that we need to do, and that is we need to look at ourselves to reflect on the mistakes, to look at the missed opportunities, to look at the failures, yes, to even look at the sins, and we look at them with a great resolve that we will make better use of this time that we will be given during this coming year, whatever that amount of time is. That we will make this resolve that we will use it better to become like Jesus Christ. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 15. I've read this in many, many sermons, and many of you are going to know exactly probably what I'm going to when I say Proverbs chapter 15. You know what I'm going to say. It fits here too. Proverbs 15, verses 31 and 32. Verse 31, the ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. In other words, we pay attention to what's going on. We look at others, things that they did wrong and learn from it. We look at things that people did that were right and we learn from it. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. Verse 32, he that refuses instruction despises or hates himself. But he that hears reproof gets understanding. And the understanding, brethren, is we're to becoming more and more and more every day, every breath, like Jesus Christ. And so we take a look and we see. And so as a result of that, we determined that the weaknesses that held us back last year will hold us back no more. And we approach that with this resolve. From now on, we will do better and we will be better, beginning and becoming more like Jesus Christ. The servant of God, Moses, also reflected on this subject of time. Let's go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, written by Moses. You can read all of it. We'll just read just a few verses here. But Psalm 90, verse 9. Psalm 90 and verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. That's our life. That's what he's talking about. In other words, it is temporary. No matter how long we live, Moses lived, according to the Bible, 120 years. It was as a breath within all of eternity. And this is the point. This is what he's getting at here. Let's drop down in verse 10 now. And the days of our years are 70 years and 10, in other words, 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, in other words, we can actually live to 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. teach us to number our days. In other words, putting it in a statement for Moses in a prayer-like statement, it would be like he is praying, Lord, teach us to remember the brevity of this life and how soon it will be gone. And when we stop and really think about it, we all know this is true. We all know this is true. However, in this hurry-up, fast-paced, everyday living that we find ourselves, we forget. We forget to think on these things. And so, brethren, I believe as we pause after the feast, looking forward to next year's feast, because like I said, many people in the Church of God look as the year from feast to feast. You know, next year let's plan to do this. And they plan that way. I'm not even saying that that in itself is wrong. I'm just saying this is the reality. And so I'm saying here, as we pause after the feast, looking forward to next year's feast, this moment now can remind us there is only one right time to be all that we want to be. And that time is now. Now is the right time to make progress toward the kingdom of God, and now is the right time to become more like Jesus Christ. And I'll even interject here, making comments about looking forward to next year's feast. We've already started talking about making plans for next year's feast. And so it has to go on. That's a reality. But we need to sometimes, you know, draw back. And yes, you do those things, but we also have to reflect back that now is the time to make whatever progress we're going to make toward the kingdom of God. And now is the time for us to become more like Jesus Christ. But again, how easy it is to forget. In fact, the history of the Bible is filled with accounts of those who forgot. You know, while we're thinking about it and it's on our minds, you know, none of us would forget. We wouldn't forget this. We go, oh yeah, this is important. Of course it's important. We understand that. But we have recorded history in the Bible of people who forgot. Let's go to this one account. It's in Psalm 107. Let's begin reading in verse 11. Psalm 107, verse 11, because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. That's the history. That's what God does. They went away because they rebelled against the words of God. They forgot that the words of God were right. They forgot that the words of God are life. They forgot that God is God. And they find themselves in his horrible troubles. And from there, they started to remember, oh yeah, there is God. And they cried out to God and God delivers them. This is what it says. And this is the history of Israel over and over and over. Verse 14, he brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. That's what God does. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men. If you had a month to live, what would you do? Question may seem a little more sobering now. But in this account with Israel, they forsook God. They went away. They forgot. And then they remembered. And then they turned back, and God in His mercy and love rescued them. And so, brethren, it needs to be with us. Because you see, time and time again, all too often, we also have forgotten. We have, as it says, fallen down. And we have turned back in thought, if not indeed. We've at least done it in thought, and we know we have. We need to pause at this time in our lives and ask God in prayer to teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's Psalm 90 and verse 12. That's what we read. All of us, when we're sober to think about this kind of topic, we certainly will come to the conclusion that no one can say with any type of certainty, I know that I will be living tomorrow, much less know that we will be alive at the next feast. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Luke 12 and verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, this is Luke 12, verse 16, ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room wherein to bestow my fruits? And he said, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater barns, and thereby I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, you fool. This night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall these things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. How are we rich toward God? The thread of life that we hold on to is so fragile that none of us can boast that we own even 1 second of the future. I know this is sobering. I understand. But I think this is something that from time to time we need to take a look at. And I think this is a good time in which to do it. Let's go back to James chapter 4 again. We were there earlier, but let's go back there again, this time in verse 13. James 4 and verse 13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. And this vapor goes back, this is a quote going back to the book of Ecclesiastes, and it means the exhaling of a breath. That's what the word in Hebrew means. It means the, that's all a vapor is. And it says, and this is our life that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's a little time. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. So we conclude, we see, that only this present moment is God's gift to us. Only this present moment can we really call our own. Only this moment in which we are living now. That is why the Bible is so explicit about the importance of the present moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As we go there, I want to make a statement. The plan of God that He has as a salvation process for all of mankind, that is a plan that is worked out over a long period of time. I understand that. And we celebrate that every year through the Holy Day season. We celebrate all of that. And so, does that mean, am I saying that we're not to be planning? Of course I'm not saying that we aren't to be planning. I'm talking about that we're to look at the realities, though, and those are different. And this is what we need to look at here. So let's go to now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he says, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It says, I didn't write this, it says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Those are powerful words. If this is what we have, it is now. That's the point. This is why it is so important to resolve and to act upon that resolve right now. That we're going to make changes. That we are going to make changes. The right time is now. This is the only moment that we can claim. And it is this moment in which we have our only opportunity to begin anew. We can't change yesterday. We can only deal with right now. We can make plans for, but what we change is right now. Because, of course, we also are to make plans for tomorrow. And I want to keep going back and saying that even though this sermon is based upon now, we are to be still making plans, and I want us to understand that. Maybe some of us have said things like, one day I will work on those weaknesses of mine, or one day I'm going to work on that bad attitude, or one day when I get time, I'm going to make some of these changes. I don't know. I'm not asking for show of hands or anybody to make comments of anything that we've done like that, but probably. Maybe there's questions or statements that we've made like, well, I have this anger problem, or I have this depression problem, or whatever it is that we may have. And we use the term someday. And the reality is we keep putting it off. And we put it off day after day, month after month, and it turns into year after year and year after year. And of course, all the time, what is happening? It's growing stronger. And as a result, it becomes so natural, so very comfortable, so much a part of our very life that we get accustomed to it and we accept it as being, well, this is just how I am. However, brethren, please understand, we are not here to remain as we are. We are here to change. We are here to make a total commitment of ourselves to God the Father and to Jesus Christ, because we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And to make statements like, well, this is just the way I am. I have accepted this and it's not going to make any difference. Oh, yes, it can. It can make a difference as to where we end up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? We don't belong to us. We belong to God. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I'm talking to myself here too. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be not you the servants of men. In other words, what are we servants of God? And this servants of men could be self. Well, I've got this, and it's just who I am. It's part of who I am, and I can't change, and da-da-da, and you know it, and we can fill in the gaps. That's not what it says. This is not what it says. We simply cannot count on tomorrow as it is not promised to us from God. And I think that is even very, very true if we are not using the time that He has given us today. The present moment is the only moment, only time that we have. And so we need to take advantage of it. And we need to do it now. We need to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, because there may not be another hour for us. There's another important aspect or reason why we need to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that is because the day is lost that does not add stature to our nature, to become like the fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ. If we're not adding to that in our lives on a day-to-day basis, that day's gone. Use this moment to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Commit to becoming more and more just like He is. Number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. We read that verse earlier, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Brethren, the day is lost, which no knowledge of God was added to it. Not added to our life. That day is gone. We can't go back and say, oh, well, I want to go back to, you know, 3 days ago when I didn't do anything to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can't do that. It's gone. That day is gone. The day that is gone, where we cannot, if we did not, go back and praise and thank God for anything. So as true Christians, as real Christians, as real believers, praise and prayers of thanksgiving are not to be only an occasional thing, but rather, when you really think about it, they should be what? They need to be part of our very breath of life itself. I think that there are too many of us, and I mean us, I mean those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And you can put your name there if your name fits, but I think there's too many of us who do not use the Word of God in our lives daily. And we need to be more like the patriarch Job. So let's go back to the book of Job, and I want to read a verse here. Job 23 and verse 12. Job 23 and verse 12, and see what he says. And see if this applies to us. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's pretty sobering. I mean, now he's not implying, God is never implying that we shouldn't eat. He created us. That's how we grow. Physically, that's how our bodies is nourished. It's through that process of called food. He did it that way. So we're supposed to eat, But which do we put first? This is where do we have that? I mean, this is what he's saying. I have esteemed means I have put higher the word of God in my mouth more than I have necessary food. Brother, when we look at all of eternity, past, present, and future, how absolutely small a segment of it is, this brief period of time that we call now. It's not very much. And yet, how incredibly important it is to us individually. For us, it is the key to all that lies ahead. How we use now. By the way we use the moment right now that we have, we are determining to some degree our eternal destiny. Are we going to be a forgotten bit of dust? Unknowing and unknown? Or are we going to be one of the members of the family of God, enjoying happiness and delight far beyond our wildest thoughts? Because when you boil it down, it's an either or. It's an either or. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling us over here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And he pleads with us. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15, if you'll go there. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. I know this is sobering. So, brethren, this next year needs to be a year of such spiritual growth that has never been before. And we need to commit to working on and adding and developing our spiritual lives to be strong for the tests that this year ahead is going to bring. Very simply stated, not to make overmuch of it, and certainly not to make, you know, downplay it by simply just stating these as a, like in a 1, 2, 3, but they're very powerful things. And I'm saying that we need to be adding more prayer daily. We need to be adding more Bible study daily. We need to be adding more meditation daily. And we certainly need to be fasting more, and I'm certainly not implying fasting daily, but we need to be fasting more than we've been fasting, and I think we all understand that. Because, brethren, we see we do make plans for tomorrow because all is not focused on today. But we do have to make these things, and we do have to set aside these times, and we do have to do these things. I want to read a couple of passages dealing with, you know, with meditation and the way of life of God. Let's go to Psalm 1 and verse 2. In Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Could we write our name there? That my delight, that you put your name there, your delight is in the law of the Lord, and it'll be true. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Think about it. Do we really consciously think about it? How we can use it? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. Joshua, who is now taken over after the death of Moses, very important position to be thrust into, as it were. God is speaking to him and telling him how to do it. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, It's not the Bible. It's, you know, for us today, it would be the Bible. He'd be handing us the Bible. He would say, this book shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, we got to know what it says to be able to come out of our mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Day and night, this book of the law, that's prayer. Because I don't know how you can approach the Word of God in Bible study if you don't do it in a prayerful way. Show me, teach me, you know, enter into me, get pour out more of your Holy Spirit to be in me and guide me in your ways and your truth. And then you study, and then you meditate on it. See, that's three of them that are done. And it should be, and it is to be done like that in basically everything we do as we approach God. So let us take time this coming year to live closer to Jesus Christ than we have ever lived before. And we do this by resolving to do these things, and I'm talking about prayer and Bible study and meditation and more fastings than we've done before. And so we need to live our lives to make His way of life our way of life, to make His will our will. I think we certainly would agree with that the time is coming when we will want His approval more than anything else in the whole world. And I think we all would agree with that. And so let's work on getting that approval on every deed, on every thought, on every feeling right now. We need to ask ourselves, if we think we can have it then, if we do not seek it now. Do we think that we could have it then if we are not seeking it now? And as we've already stated in the sermon, now is the only time we have. Let's go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 6. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Psalm 95, verse 6. O come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if we will hear His voice. So it doesn't say if we hear His voice. It's today. If we will hear His voice today. God says to us, this is what He's saying, today, if you will hear My voice. But how do we respond to that? Well, I think all too often, I think too many of us have said things like, no, Lord, tomorrow. Well, can I do this tomorrow? In effect, we say, tomorrow I will do better. Tomorrow I will break that habit. Tomorrow I will resist this temptation. And brethren, there is an unsaid half to these statements. And the unsaid half is just as real. And that unsaid half is, today I will do as I please. I mean, that's in essence what we're saying. Today I will give in to my weaknesses. Today, I will gratify the flesh. Today, I will do my will. Today, I will do what I want. Brethren, please understand, as long as we're saying tomorrow, tomorrow, then I think we can know for a certainty that Jesus Christ is going to come and find us saying tomorrow, tomorrow. And the work that has been started in us will be unfinished. And that is a sobering thought. That is scary. If you think about it as a Christian, that what God has started is not going to be finished because of tomorrow I'll be better. Today, if you will hear His voice. That's what it says. You see, God has, as we know, as we saw at the Feast of Tabernacles, and as we see through all of the holy days, God has some wonderful promises to those who are seeking Him today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. You know where I'm going. But let's go there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And brother, let's make no mistake about it. The seeking first is to be done today, every day. Right now is the time to be taking the steps to make those promises our own, to claim them. The right time is now, not later on, but now. I want to paraphrase a quote from a philosopher by the name of Plato. He said, "Take charge of your days. You can do what you will with them." In other words, it's up to us individually. What are you going to do with today? And every day, we make choices. Are we choosing to draw closer to becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? And that's either yes or no. Well, as we started and stated at the beginning of this sermon, life is extremely brief and our days are numbered. We need to make the most of every moment we have, of every day we have. That's the conclusion. That's what we're to come to the realization of. I want us to go to one more verse. If you'll go with me to the book of Psalm 118 and verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. And it tells us, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So, brethren, what I ask is let each one of us allow the words of God to ring loudly in our ears every day during this next year. Today, if you will hear His voice, today, and today is now. And the ironic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, "On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Brethren, God has blessed us. He has blessed us with His truth. He has blessed us with His promises. He has blessed us with His plan of salvation for all of mankind. and he has blessed us with today. God bless you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.